One of the toughest aspects of being a parent is the fact that no one gives you a manual for your kid, and no one gives you job description as to what you're supposed to do with that child. And I can't think of any area where this has impacted American parents, especially Christian parents, more than when it comes to the world of the cybersecurity, the internet, all the different things. My kids are in their 20s. We didn't have to deal with any of this stuff. I mean, compared to just, hey, you've been on Facebook too much. You've been instant messaging too much. Clayton Cranford is an Orange County Deputy Sheriff, and he has a passion for this because of the work that he does. Clay, it's good to have you on the Bottom Line Show today, because this is an important thing that you are doing from your position in law enforcement, but also as a responsible citizen, husband, and father who cares about young people. Welcome to the Bottom Line Show today.
Thank you, Roger.
Let's talk about your job first, because, I mean, that's obviously how you earn your living. You've been with the Orange County. You've been a Deputy Sheriff now for how long?
13 years.
Okay, and how did you get into it?
Well, I was at a point in my life where I was ready to make a sincere commitment to a career, and mm-hmm. I wanted a career where I could be helping people. And I think the Lord just led me to law enforcement, and it suited me right well, quite well.
Mm-hmm. What did you do leading up to this? I mean, had you done anything like this, or were you doing something totally different and said, I want to be in the sheriff's department?
Well, strangely, I was a project manager in a website development company. And so we worked on technology and social media. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nearly, 12, 13 years later, I find myself working in juvenile investigations, juvenile services, where I'm dealing with students or young people using social media inappropriately. And then the result of that is me sitting down and helping parents better understand what's going on, and then they can better parent their children.
Clay Cranford with me today here on The Bottom Line. He's the author of a book called Parenting in a Digital World, a Step-by-Step Guide to Internet Safety. We have a link up at thebottomlineshow.com. 2006-2007, I worked with Jim Burns in the Homeward Ministry on writing a book called Internet Protect Your Kids. And the book hit the shelves, and people said, wow, this is great. And then Facebook was made available to everyone. And then smartphones started hitting the market. Then this video service called YouTube showed up. And all of a sudden, we kind of looked at the book and went, oh, boy. You know, I mean, this was good for what it was in the MySpace world. But things they were moving. The amount of information available online was updating every 17 months. I mean, it just started moving faster and faster. How quickly is it moving now, 10 years later?
It's moving, I'd say, even faster. I mean, I always tell parents, it's a moving target. To really understand what kids are doing, you're always going to be slightly behind the curve, because mm-hmm. we're finding out about a lot of these sites is because they become popular with students, and then the students are using it inappropriately, or they're being maybe exploited by an adult through that.
So the knowledge for you in the sheriff's department, you're finding out about this after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, even when I was working in the schools, I was a school resource officer for 3 years prior to going into investigations, and I would be out there while the kids are sitting out at lunch and with their phones, and I'm looking over their shoulder and saying, hey, what are you doing? What's that new app? So even when I was finding about it, on the ground, it was still slightly behind.
Mm-hmm. It had already happened. Everyone was using it, and you were just kind of getting into it.
Yeah, so I was definitely just behind the initial crest of that wave. But I mean, for a parent, as soon as you figure it out, I mean, just like when parents figured out Facebook, kids have moved on to Instagram. And sure. Then once parents are now on Instagram figuring that out, kids are now moving on to Snapchat and other apps, and parents are overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Parents are overwhelmed. Kids are overwhelmed, too. I mean, I watch what goes into the social world. Even just someone, let's take your average teenager, a couple of teenage girls, they're in an amusement park, they're having fun, they want to take some pictures of themselves, some selfies, and they'll spend an hour getting the lighting right, getting the cutting right, using all the different apps available to them so they can put up a picture that makes it look like they were just walking through Knott's Berry Farm, took a picture, and there it is. I mean, so it takes a lot of time for the kids to learn all this. It takes a lot of time for the parents to figure out where the kids are. And then you put in a criminal element, which is what you're seeing too. I mean, it sounds like a recipe for disaster, Clay.
It's really complicated because, I mean, yeah, most parents are thinking about just safety. Is my kid
sure.
safe?
Sure.
But then you have the issue, these kids are spending an inordinate amount of time on these applications. I mean, the typical kid is checking their social media or texting about 7 to 10 times every hour. Mm-hmm. And so now parents are concerned about balance. You know, is my kid getting, the kind of exposure to the things that we grew up with, friends, social skills, playing games? And the answer is no. I mean, they're not. They're spending 40-plus hours a week on screens, and it's affecting them.
Is that school homework and social media, or is that just social media?
That's going to be everything that's got basically a screen.
So 40 hours a week a child is spending on a screen. And
right.
The key for us as parents and grandparents then is to figure out how they are effectively using the screen time and where they might wander off into other areas.
Yeah, because, I mean, it is an important part of their lives. I mean, they need those devices to get their homework done. And they are using it constructively to communicate with friends, but there's a point where it's going to be too much. So you got to find a balance. Balance is, all or nothing is not the right answer. It's really going to be finding a good balance, and that's where parents struggle.
Well, Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clay Cranford with me today here on The Bottom Line. He is the founder of CyberSafetyCop.com, which got a link to that website up at TheBottomLineShow.com. Also author of the new book, Parenting in a Digital World, a step-by-step guide for Internet safety. We're going to talk about why this is so important, especially with the use of social media in terms of violent crimes on school campuses, and kids are involved in this. We'll talk about that next as The Bottom Line continues.
Don't worry, don't worry. The Bottom Line continues in a moment. You can breathe easy.
Lord, thanks for my mom and dad and for food, and thanks for our refrigerator, for the heater, for the paved roads, for toothpaste, for x-rays. Socks.
The Bible does say we should be thankful in all things.
Thank you for batteries, for headlights, for telephones, for our radios, for the tires on our car, for dogs that make us smile, and for stars that look really cool.
But sometimes when things get tough, it's really hard to be thankful.
And Lord, thanks for grass, jello, for baby's smiles. Thanks for the plumber who got our toilet fixed, and for the fireman who helped that guy who was in that wreck.
So this Thanksgiving, if it's tough to find anything to be thankful about, just look around you.
Thank you for the water that comes out of the shower and for plumbing that keeps our house sanitary. Thank you for the dishes.
This Thanksgiving, take a moment to give thanks in all things.
And Lord, in case nobody's ever thanked you for it, thanks for the plankton in the oceans and the trees in the rainforest for giving us oxygen.
A message from AM 740, K-Bright.
Taking a stand for America. John Quincy Adams said, "To my posterity, you will never know how much it cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it." End quote. Stay involved, stay tuned to this Crawford Broadcasting Station, and take a stand for America.
This is The Bottom Line with Roger Marsh on K-Bright, serving the Inland Empire.
Parenting in a Digital World, a step-by-step guide to Internet safety. It's a brand new book by Clayton Cranford, and he's in studio with me today here on The Bottom Line. Clay, it's good to have you on the program bringing this conversation here, because as you and I were talking about before the show, actually, the fact is it is a reality that kids are using social media to think about or talk about or, commit crimes and, bullying and things like that. It's our job as the adults, whether it be a school resource officer like yourself or a parent like myself or a pastor, to actually make the right decisions based on what's going on. Not overreact, but not underreact, too. And I know that that's been key as part of your ministry.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when we look at statistically, 80% of students, teens who are on social media, have not gotten any kind of direction or boundaries from their parents about how they should be using the internet.
Here's your phone, here's your iPad, here's your computer, figure it out.
Yeah. And when kids don't have boundaries, they go out and they find their own boundaries, but usually they've bumped up against something that has hurt them. Mm. And we want, as parents, create safe boundaries to keep them from ever going to the edge.
Is cyberbullying as bad as we hear about?
Well, I'm going to say it's an issue for some students. I think it's been overblown.
Okay.
I think it's a piece of a much bigger puzzle. I'm dealing with just a lot of nastiness. I think kids are becoming used to just a general sense of nastiness on social media, and that's the norm. Which I think for parents is really disturbing, because if you actually see what's going on, if parents take the time to read what their kids are writing or consuming, you'd be like, this is not okay, and this is what kids are kind of dealing with.
And it sounds like when you and I were younger, this was just locker room talk. I mean, it happened on the schoolyard. Kids said things to each other, or maybe they passed notes or something like that. It wasn't as amplified. Now it's everywhere, and it seems like it's a lot more pronounced. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it is. And I think there's something about having a device and not another person there. So when you're angry and you're texting a message or you're posting something about another person, it's much easier to do and say things that you would never do to their face. And kids really look at them as being two things, they say, I would never say that to their face, but mm-hmm. it has the same effect. They have consequences at school. If it's a threat, I'm going to be coming out there and interviewing them to find out what's going on with this message.
How do you define – I'm talking with Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clay Cranford today here on The Bottom Line. He's the founder of CybersafetyCop.com and has a book called Parenting in a Digital World, a Step-by-Step Guide to Internet Safety. Clay, how do you determine when it's a threat and when it's just mean girls getting kind of catty with each other?
You know what? You can't really tell. I mean, because that is part of the problem with social media is that there's no context. So there's words there, and we kind of assign a meaning to them. But because we really care about the safety of your children at schools and we want a safe school environment, we're going to take all these things serious, and we're going to go out there and we're going to interview the person who's making that statement. And then from there, we're going to back it down to, oh, this was a joke. This was the situation.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But we're not going to take that chance.
Yeah. But Clay, you said a mouthful right there. I'm going to have this. I'm not into tattoos, but if I were, I think I'd have this tattooed on my arm. Social media has no context. And I was talking with Craig Groeschel, the pastor of Life Church and the founder of the YouVersion app of the Bible, last week. We were talking about he's got a book out called Hashtag Struggles, which is all about social media in the church. And he made that same reference. He says, when you're looking at somebody's Facebook profile, for example, one minute it's my political opinion on the GOP debate. The next minute it's a picture of a cat. The next minute it's my worship service. The next minute it's some guy that I want dead. Yeah, I mean, and it just all rolls together. And after a while, our brains just look at this as it's one picture after another, after another, after another. And for young people especially, it's really hard to have context when you're just getting everything off of your iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, they're not only consuming things, and they believe just about everything that they read. But the other thing is they're missing an awesome opportunity to make a difference. I mean, imagine when you were a kid, if you could talk to thousands of people at one time.
Oh, my.
I mean, that's the power that they have now, which is kind of unprecedented. So they have an opportunity to make a difference. They have an opportunity to create this an amazing digital reputation, which will help them when they're looking at colleges or a business
yes,
down the road.
Yes, yes. And I'm talking with Clay Cranford today here on The Bottom Line, the author of Parenting in a Digital World, a step guide to Internet Safety. That, when we were writing Internet Protect Your Kids, that was just starting to happen where the colleges were looking at MySpace and Facebook profiles and saying, there was a ministry that representative that I interviewed, and she said, you know, we were looking for a receptionist. We had 10 girls apply, and somebody said, let's check their social media accounts, and five of them were immediately eliminated just by what they had posted online. And again, someone would say, well, that's not fair, and that's their private life. Well, yeah, but they're going to be working for a Christian organization, and when every picture they have on social media is blurred lines and red cups and here's me partying in Cabo, after a while you start saying, well, okay, you look good on paper, but in real life, which one of you is going to show up to do the job, actually?
Exactly. And I think if parents are hoping that their kids are going to figure this out, the short answer is they're not. So
right.
when I do my workshop for parents, I tell them, you need to make this a priority. You tell your kid, if you want social media, then you're going to make using it as a platform for good as a priority. So what I tell parents to do is, number one, find a charity or cause that your kid is passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And then find that charity or cause, maybe hopefully one that's local, and start following their social media feed. And when you do that, you can like and you can repost those things, and your child will repost and like those things in their social media feed. So everybody that's on following them will see that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as a parent, you're like, hey, this is a great cause. You know, they're doing a 5K run next week. Maybe we should go do it. Maybe post some, you know, try to get people interested in doing it with us.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's gather food for the food pantry. So then the kid starts creating, not just following and reposting, but now actually creating positive content in their social media that's going to promote this cause. And when if I'm an employer, or if I'm the sheriff's department looking at for someone who wants to become a deputy sheriff, I'm going to look at their social media.
Right.
And if they're sitting across the table telling me I care about people, I want to see that borne out in their lives.
And that's where you're going to find it, is on social media. And I like how you put that little plug in if you're recruiting people for the Orange County Sheriff's Department. They're just throwing that out there in case
that's
there might
right.
be someone who's listening who's thinking about that as a career choice, too. Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clayton Cranford with me today here on The Bottom Line. He's the founder of CybersafetyCop.com and the author of the new book, Parenting in a Digital World, a step-by-step guide to Internet Safety. We've got a link up at thebottomlineshow.com. As we continue, how do you know if it's a real threat, and what are kids really doing? I mean, we see a lot of school shootings, and obviously, Officer Cranford, you've seen this happen. Let's talk about what really constitutes a threat and how bad it's gotten. What we see in the media, it's horrible, horrible, horrible. Is it really that bad? Are we overplaying it? Are we underplaying it? We'll talk about that next as The Bottom Line continues.
Whoa, what are you doing? The Bottom Line continues in just a moment.
Stephen R. Golden helped save my home, period.
That's a listener named Stuart who faced foreclosure when he tried to get a loan modification from his bank.
I had a divorce, and I lost a good job, and it was just, you know, hard to get on my feet again, and so I applied for a mod. The bank led me to believe that I could get one. I definitely qualified, but then they turned it down, and I reapplied, and they turned it down. And then I said, okay, fine, I surrender. I tried to short sale, and they wouldn't even give me a short sale. So they dragged their feet in total for about 3 years.
Calling Stephen Golden put the firm's reputation, expertise, and legal muscle on Stewart's side, and that changed everything.
One day, the bank just caved, and they gave me my mod. Stephen R. Golden was used by the Lord to help save my home.
Don't let your bank string you along into foreclosure. Call Stephen R. Golden at 626-228-2710 so you can get off the bank's merry-go-round and on the road to a real solution for your pending foreclosure. 626-228-2710.
You need good, competent, ethical representation if you want to keep your home. You can't do it alone.
Does Stuart's situation sound familiar to yours? You're getting to request to send more information and then resubmit again and again. Your bank might be stalling you along toward actually forcing you into a foreclosure when they look like they're helping you. Call Stephen R. Golden today, 626-228-2710.
Hi, this is Mike Berry, Senior Counsel and Director of Military Affairs for Liberty Institute, and you're listening to The Bottom Line.
Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clayton Cranford with me today here on The Bottom Line. He's written a book called Parenting in a Digital World, a step-by-step guide to internet safety. It's up at thebottomlineshow.com, the creator of cybersafetycop.com as well. And we've been talking, Clay, about how important it is for parents and grandparents to really step in and speak into a child's life. But one of the things I know, and I've learned this from Jim Burns at the Homeward Ministry, is children see, children do. And I can still remember the time I was having dinner with one of my daughters. We were at a Chili's restaurant watching the Angel game. We'd just gone to the gym to work out. And I saw a mom with two young children, and mom did not take her face out of her iPhone the entire time she was there. And when the four-year-old, it looked like, was looking for something to do, she reached into her purse and pulled out a tablet. And basically left the 10-year-old daughter or whatever there to fend for herself. They were, quote unquote, having family dinner together. And mom was on Facebook and Pinterest and just having a great time. And I thought, oh, my goodness, no wonder kids are running around unsupervised online. Look at the example they've got.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk to parents about, you know, creating balance in your child's life, the number one thing is be a good model. Model good habits. When you come together as a family, that should be a screen free zone.
Love it.
And we also know that when families come together especially in a family dinner type environment, kids thrive. Mm-hmm. So there's recent study that was done. It was published in the Journal of American Medical Association, and it showed that families that had family dinners, no screens, and they sat there and they ate and they had eye contact and they talked, those kids had fewer incidents of mental health issues than families that didn't do that. And moreover, they found that families that had more family dinners a week were better off. Those kids were better off than families that had fewer. So it does make a difference. Parents think their voice is getting lost in the noise. It's not. It's really making a difference.
Because you're being intentional about getting some family time together. And Clay, you've seen this bear out in schools. As a school resource officer, you can spot the kids. I mean, not that you walk around and say, that kid has dinner with his family three times a week. But as you're dealing with the quote-unquote problem kids, I'm sure that you've noticed, you know, that breakdown.
Yeah, there's a common denominator with kids who are dealing with trauma, kids who have behavior issues, and it's a disintegration of their family. So if there's a one parent family, that one parent is working, doing the very best they can, but unfortunately the kid is not, the children aren't supervised as well, and you know, the kids who are in the foster system, who mm-hmm. are in you know, Boys Town or whatever that we have at our schools, and they're the ones who are really struggling. It's because they don't have people in their lives that are closely connected to them, who love them, and who are giving them good coping skills to deal with the day-to-day issues.
Clay Cranford with me today here on The Bottom Line, the author of the book Parenting in a Digital World, a step-by-step guide to internet safety. It's up at thebottomlineshow.com. Clay, I'm glad you said that about single parents, because I know there are a lot of single parents that beat themselves up all the time saying,
look, I'm trying. I'm doing the best I can. I can't be mom and dad to my kids, and especially as you're seeing them in middle schoolers, high schoolers, things like that. It's challenging, but I appreciate what you talk about the community and bringing the right people in, because this is where the church can step in. This is where neighbors, aunts and uncles can step in and kind of fill in some of those voids. And my exhortation to you as an aunt or an uncle is listening right now, especially, hey, if you know that you've got a niece or a nephew who's in a single parent situation, take the extra time, make the extra effort just to be there. Because another, I'm quoting Homeward all day today, the power of being there is so very, very important in kids' lives.
It is. I mean, I recently, just the last year I was an SRO, I had a parent call and say, you know, I can't get my kid out of bed. He won't go to school. And I show up at the house, and there's this kid lying in his bed, and he's just refusing to get out. And the reason is that mom's a single mom. She goes off to work. And if he doesn't go to school, he's just going to stay and play on his computer all day.
Sure.
So I said, Mom, if you want, I can help you. And I took the power cord out from the back of his computer. I put it in the back of my patrol car. And I told this boy who was a student at one of my schools, if you go to school today and you go to school every day this week, you're going to get the power cord back on Friday after school. And guess what? He showed up to school on time.
He earned it back. Yeah.
He earned it back.
Yeah. He wants it. Well, you set a standard for him that wasn't unreasonable. And he, and deep down, let's face it, a lot of these kids, some kids, you know, are just kind of incorrigible. They're going to do what they're going to do. But a lot of kids are just looking for someone to care enough about them to say, I'm going to stay involved in your situation like you did and said, let me set a standard. And I'm going to walk that road with you.
Yeah. Well, and the kids will scream. But
well, sure they
but,
will.
But inside, they desperately want and need boundaries.
So what you hear on the outside is, I'm mad at you, but on the inside, they're cheering and saying, thank the Lord somebody cares.
Yeah, they really do.
Wow, that's great. Clay Cranford with me today here on The Bottom Line, the founder of CybersafetyCop.com. I'm going to ask you kind of a two-part question here because we're coming up on a break, but I want to initiate the conversation here. Obviously, we hear a lot about how social media is being used in terrorist threats all over the world. I mean, we see that it's so difficult to trace, you know, pedophilia. It's just a murky world. I want you to take 60 seconds here before the break and talk about just an overview of what kids are doing with social media in terms of violence, planning things that require an officer to get involved, that type of thing, as opposed to just the catty name calling of middle school that most people outgrow.
Yeah, well, I mean, by and large, when kids are online, they're not making those kinds of threats that's going to get a police response. But what is going on is that they're going to social media platforms that allow them to communicate with complete strangers. So now we have a situation where an adult anonymously can communicate with a child, and then we do have situations where kids are who are dealing with problems at school with other students, and instead of having good kind of conflict resolution skills, they're saying horrible things online. And when you post, I'm gonna shoot you tomorrow at school.
Someone like you has to take that seriously.
Yeah,
we
can't just, you know, slop that off. Oh, that's just, you know, nonsense. It's serious, and it could come from a third grader. Mm. It come from a high
You're
school.
You're hearing
student.
It from kids that young.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's this world of Call of Duty that they live in, and this is the currency of their language.
And again, and like you said earlier, Clay, with no context whatsoever, if this is how we can talk in a video game, then why can't we say it on social media? Because they're basically the same.
Right.
Instead of realizing that you're saying this now about a real human being that you're in class with. And a child, to be fair, a child may not make that connection.
Oh, no, they don't. Mm-hmm. And for in a school, an administration, when they get that message from a parent, hey, someone's made this threat, I mean, it causes havoc. I mean, do we even have school tomorrow? I mean, it's very problematic, and the student who makes that threat had no intention, usually no intention of ever doing
anything.
They're
just mad and having a bad
day. They're just having a bad day, but they have horrible consequences through the school because of it, and usually the parent had no idea what was going on.
Let's talk more about that on the other side of this break. Clay Cranford with me today here on The Bottom Line. Orange County Deputy Sheriff and author of the book Parenting in a Digital World, a Step-by-Step Guide to Internet Safety. It's up at thebottomlineshow.com. More of this conversation in just a moment as The Bottom Line continues.
More ideas to fundamentally transform America when The Bottom Line returns in 90 seconds.
A girl named Dai ended up living on the streets to escape abuse from the man who brought her here from Korea. When a friendly woman offered her a job at a dating service, Dai quickly accepted. It wasn't a dating service. Stripped of her identity and citizenship documents, Dai was forced into prostitution. Soon she was being shipped to clients in Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Texas, California, Florida, and New York. Her downtime was spent locked underneath casinos, in basements, or in abandoned warehouses. One wealthy client was so taken with Di, he bought her like a trinket. But that allowed her enough freedom to eventually escape. An abolitionist group she found connected her to resources that helped her start recovering from the horrors of her captivity and stand up to share the message that we can't share enough. Human trafficking is real, it's happening here, and Christians need to fight it.
Crawford Broadcasting is standing against this modern-day slavery, and we urge you to get informed. To report suspected human trafficking or just to learn more, you can call 888-3737-888.
This is Teaching and Talk for Real Life.
K-Bright.
Keep up with The Bottom Line through Twitter. Follow Roger at Bottom Line Roger.
Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clayton Cranford with me today here on The Bottom Line. A very, very informative conversation. I'm enjoying it, Clay, but as we talked about during the break, not because, ooh, isn't it cool, all the, you know, weird things that you see online, but rather there's hope. I mean, you can identify problems that the parents are having with kids or the kids might wander into inadvertently. Cybersafetycop.com is your website where you've got a lot of resources there, too. Let's take this final segment and talk about things parents can do, because the problem does seem so enormous. Oftentimes, parents will just take a step back and say, I'm trying to make my kid happy. He's going to yell at me. She's going to be angry with me. What are some good steps for cyber safety that parents can start doing without having to fear the wrath of their kids right away?
Right. Okay. That's perfect. So the number one probably issue that I deal with is kids getting social media too early. So all these apps that your kid wants to get on, Instagram, whatever, Facebook, they all have a minimum age. And for instance, Instagram is 13 years old. So if your kid is 10 or 11 or 12, then the answer should be no if they mm-hmm. want Instagram. And I think it's also a great opportunity to parent, because you say, hey, we're not the kind of family that's going to lie.
But mom, all my friends have it. Yeah. How do you respond to that?
Well, sometimes you got to be the bad guy. Mm. And my 12-year-old hit me up for Instagram, and I had to tell him, like, hey, we're not the kind of family that lies. And on top of that, your dad's a cyber safety cop.
I was going to say, send him to cybersafetycop.com and see how he answers that question.
Yeah, yeah, he hates cyber safety cops sometimes.
I'll bet he does.
So you got to do what's best for your kid.
Sure.
So once you find that they're at the right age, and it may not even be 13, maybe your kid isn't really mature, or you know your kid best, maybe you need to wait past 13 before mm-hmm. you give them Instagram.
Sure.
So do what's right. And then when you do, you need to have an open and ongoing conversation with your kid about social media, your concerns, and it needs, like I said, it needs to be ongoing.
Yes.
So one of the things I point parents to is I have an internet and device contract on my website. Mm-hmm. You can download it. And I just want parents to go through that with their kiddo and just talk about the different issues on there. And you'll be amazed how much your kid knows about the threats and the issues, and you just need to have that kind of meeting of the minds.
And I would imagine, too, Clay, you're going to give dads especially permission to not know everything, because this is something that's really tough for dads. How can I discipline my kid when either I have bad internet habits or I don't know what they're talking about? And they're going to say, oh, yeah, I already know that, and you're going to be biting your tongue like that. But this does give them permission to say, let's review here. Let's go over this contract together.
Right, exactly. And here's the problem. I mean, like I said earlier, 80% of parents aren't having that conversation with their kids. And then we also know that only about 1 in 10 children are going to go to their parents and tell them about being victimized online.
Mm.
So when you look at those two statistics together, it looks pretty grim. So what we want to do is we want kids to feel safe to come to their mom and dad and tell them about stuff that's going on. So when you do that contract with your kid, I want you to tell them, like, hey, look, I understand you're a kid and you're going to make mistakes and that's okay. But if you come to me immediately and let me know about a mistake that you made, I'm not going to give you consequences, right? We're going to try to fix the situation, delete a post or whatever. But if you hide it, then there's going to be consequences. We want kids to be open about what's going on.
Clay Cranford, you've given us so much to think about with your book, Parenting in a Digital World, A Step-by-Step Guide to Internet Safety. We've got that up at thebottomlineshow.com, as well as a link to your son's favorite website, cybersafetycop.com. Some days I'm sure he appreciates it more than others. Thanks for the work that you're doing and continue to do. I'm sure we'll have you back on the program again soon, but thanks for being with me today here on The Bottom Line.
Thanks a lot.